So it's a hearty, 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 what up, though, folks? This is Detroit Niner, and welcome back to the Detroit Niner Podcast. Welcome back to the Urban Multiverse. As you also know, we are available every Tuesday on mostly all platforms, including Google, Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, and the like. Please rate, review, and subscribe to get the podcast alerts to you daily. Of course, a little bit later in the day, the reason for that is that due to the fact that the virus has actually shut down my state, I've had to actually change up my where I work and have work a different shift. Now I'm working midnight, y'all. It's rough. But it's necessary because, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So for today's podcast, I wanted to talk about the virus and give updates in regards to that. Another reason I was waiting because I just got through watching the president's daily briefing in regards to the virus and what his task force is looking to do. But I also wanted to go into a different realm as well, just to make it, you know, more like a conversation. I don't want to just give off stats and run off things and politicize it too much today. I would really just want to go ahead and give you guys an update on just me personally and what's been going on. Of course, this virus has affected all of us in different forms or fashions. First and foremost, I'd like to thank God that I still have my health. My family members, for the most part, are all happy and healthy, friends and family and so forth. Life has changed a lot for all of us, especially here in Michigan with the shelter in place edict that was handed down by the governor just a few weeks ago. It seems like it's been a long time, but it really hasn't been that long. For me, my walk is a little bit different because, like I said, I'm working. The job I had, of course, was shut down. So, you know, I didn't want to sit at home and try to collect the unemployment. So I went ahead and found me something else. I was actually in the process of trying to find something else when before the governor put this, the shelter in place into effect. But I see a little bit differently than most people see how things have changed because I'm out and about, you know, a few times a week. I'm sorry. So. And of course, me driving around at night makes it even that more stark of a difference. There's hardly any cars on the road, and that's a good thing. You know, it should be a situation where the governor's order is being heeded to. Now, I know in certain situations it hasn't been. You know, ergo the parties that we're having at Rouge Park and stuff like that. It's like some people just don't get it, but I know a lot of people just aren't informed. I know most of the folks that listen to this podcast are informed. That's why you're listening, because you have a different sense of, I don't know, awareness, for lack of a better term. And I'm grateful for you guys to keep on listening. And like I said, hopefully this podcast can give you a little bit of a diversion from your daily, day-to-day life, which has changed drastically. But yeah, I don't see that many people out and about. Like I said, like this is a good thing. With the mitigation thing that they're trying to do, they're trying to flatten the curve and so forth with the spread of the disease and to make sure it doesn't spike out of control is one thing. Of course, if you're not from Michigan, you don't know or you probably have heard how Detroit proper has seen a very, very large increase of folks who have been tested and found positive with the disease and also with the deaths. Specifically myself, no family member has passed away, but for the church I go to, there has been at least two confirmed deaths. Sad to say that another death took place, but not from having the virus. It was of natural causes. Very sad to hear that. Don't want to say any names, but he was very special to me. He really was fond of my son and was a great friend to my mother. A good man, really, really good man. Another person that I know, pastor of a church, who was also very kind to me, His wife was very kind to me and my family. He passed away, I believe. I'm not really sure if it was anything to do with the disease or not, but just the fact that so many people are passing away, and the fact that when people are dying, if they are dying from this disease, and since I don't know that much, and I haven't even really thought about doing the research, but I'm not really sure how people are going to be buried. How, you know, since you have this rule of 50 of not being able to be assembled in certain situations, and I know services have to take place, or at least the procedures for services have to take place in regards to preparing the bodies and things like that. I don't know what happens when folks who are dying of these diseases, how their bodies are being treated, or how their families are dealing with it. I don't know if they're getting proper burials or not. Are they doing mass graves? Since there's, I know here in America, the thought of that is shocking, and horrendous, and actually frightening. But I don't know. I don't know how long that infection lasts inside of a host. And are you exposing those funeral workers who actually dispose of the bodily fluids and so forth when they embalm the bodies? I'm not really sure how that's affected at all. But it is scary if you sit back and think about it, man. So I've been affected, not directly, not from a family member, but people that I know are no longer here due to various reasons. Death is still among us. And it's even more tragic if folks are dying because of this disease. Now, today, like I said, I was just watching what the president said he's going to do, and he's adding another 30 days onto this. His recommendation, with the social distancing and things of that nature. Personally, like I said before, I personally believe that here in Michigan, you're looking at 3 months before people are back outside again, at minimum, because of the fact that we haven't gotten close. I don't believe we've gotten close to a spike yet. I think that the rates are still rising because of the fact that so many people have been affected. And of course now you still have a few reckless people out here, and it's spreading that way. I have a person who's a really close personal friend, and speculation is that he may have it because he went to a party where one of the people there had it and has died. So it's scary, man. I know people saying staying prayed up could be almost like a default mechanism or something to say. But truly, if you're a person of faith and you realize and understand how God's will is and how it operates, you have to operate in a state of no fear and no panic. And some people have taken that to extremes and like, okay, I'm still going to go to church because my faith is this and my faith is that. And I hear where you're coming from for those folks who think that way. But wisdom is the key to any type of situation in regards to a decision. God has given us, you know, we have faith in what God will do for us and how he will provide for us. But he also has provided wisdom. If you just think back of how things used to be when you had, you know, sicknesses in the Bible or pandemics or whatever you want to call it. If there was a village full of people who had some type of disease, it wasn't really smart for you to go into that village and try to preach to those people because you're going to end up getting it too. Pray for those folks, but don't have to necessarily subject yourself to what disease or affliction that they have. So I would say this, folks, it's been weird for me the past few weeks to go to church in my house and watch a video and see pastor preach. It is definitely different. It is not the same. But I understand that today's days and times are a lot different because of the fact that they have to put a lid or try to put a lid on the spreading of this stuff. And again, if it's people in my church who have it, and then if you got people that's going to church and don't know they have it, then you're just spreading it throughout the congregation. Same thing if you're on your job, you know, or, you know, it's just one of those things. We have to be smart. We have to be prayerful. We have to be faithful, and also realize that for some of these folks who are getting this disease and they're surviving, we really need to hear more of those stories, honestly. But for the folks who don't make it, we have to pray for them, pray for their families upon the loss, but also learn from what happened so this stuff doesn't happen again. This will not be the last pandemic, or this will not be the last illness that hits this country. It's unfortunate that the government didn't act the way that it did. It's, you know, hindsight is 2020. And regardless of who failed or who didn't fail, at this point in time, we have to learn from what's going on. So places like, say, for instance, like I said, since Detroit is a hot spot for this disease, people are taking drastic measures to make sure that there are things in place or facilities in place to ease the load or the burden on the medical system, healthcare system in the city, in regards to the hospitals and things like that. Watching the news and saw what New York is doing, which is, honestly, I gotta have to give Mayor Cuomo, and he may not have been the first mayor to do it, I don't know for sure, but for him to basically just pass an edict to tell all the hospitals, whether you're private or, you know, public, to forget all that stuff. You guys are all one health system now. You guys are going to share your resources. You're going to pull your resources together. I believe Washington did it first, but we're going to pull all your resources together, because everybody's short. But everybody doesn't have the same type of shorts in every situation. So, hey, if this one particular hospital over here has a whole lot of masks, let's make sure that you guys aren't just sitting on masks where other places need them. If it's a situation where one particular hospital is short-staffed and you got all the staff in the world because it really hasn't hit your area yet, let's share some of those resources, human resources, and get some folks out there so we can give some folks some rest. So here in Detroit, we have multiple healthcare systems or health systems as well. I don't know if they're going to go ahead and pull their resources together. It seems like it'll be a smart thing to do, but I know for sure that the Army Corps of Engineers are helping turn our convention center into a field hospital. I'm not really sure of how the configuration of the hospital is going to be, or whether or not it's going to be all COVID patients, or they're going to try, you know, keep them all in one spot and ease the burden on the other hospitals in the area. Don't know for sure, but I know that the Army Corps of Engineers, they've been in Chicago, they've been in Washington State, they've been in New York State, and now they're here trying to get us straight so we can actually try to cut down or smash this curb, as they say, and help mitigation takes over. It's bad because, you know, like I said, I don't want to get into too much of this, though, but some things I think need to be said with the PPE stuff. I mean, I've seen pictures where healthcare workers are wearing garbage bags with duct tape. I think it's imperative that the president goes ahead and put that order in place. So, you know, suppose as opposed to hoping that General Motors and these other companies are going to start doing things, order them to do it. So that way you can get the ventilators and things like that that folks need to stay alive. The inaction still to me is kind of crazy, but it is where we are right now. Globally, we're starting to see situations where you have state mandates in regards to curfews and things like that, and people not staying true to what those edicts or those laws are. And now you got places like in India, they're turning stadiums into jails to house those folks specifically who are out here not following orders. Now here in the city, and also in regards to the Detroit Police Department, and also the Wayne County Sheriff's, you got a few folks in that area who have actually contracted the virus. And you're starting to see now National Guard step in and help out in certain situations because the departments have been afflicted by this disease. This is real. And I know some people still had the thought process that it was fake or there was some type of hoax. And I'm glad that the president has strayed away from that. But I would hope and pray that his advisors keep him grounded and keep him from actually saying things that's going to get people hurt, or, you know, in regards to like when he's talking about the cure and all this other kind of stuff, and people start buying the stuff and he's using it, start getting sick because it's not a cure. His recklessness is endangering lives, and you would hope that the people around him will be able to rally him to the point, or get him to the point where he understands that his words are so powerful that people will just hinge on his word, because the office that he holds, not for him specifically, but the office that he holds carries so much weight, so much history of responsibility. And unfortunately, he's not been living up to that. But going back to what I was saying for me, myself, and how things have changed for me personally, how my schedule has changed, how the world around me has changed in regards to not going out really that much, not getting to see people. I've been keeping in touch with folks, you know, calling them and texting them and things like that. I think my family had a great idea. If you guys aren't doing it, hop on it, to start having conference calls, video conference calls with each other. I'm actually going to be on a conference call later on tonight with the choir that I'm a part of at church, just so people can touch base with one another. To let people know that you care. Just check on people to see that if they're okay. You know, be as active as you can be within your house. Like I said, watching the news all day is not necessarily a good thing. You want to keep informed, but you don't want to get yourself to the point where you're just depressed because all you're seeing is the death toll rise, and rise. And like I said, the media is not doing a great job of letting you know how many people have been surviving this particular disease. Because there are a lot of people who are, you know, who are not dying. But yeah, stay active. Do things with your kids inside the house. Be creative. You know, now's a good time to start journaling if you're not doing that. Of course, be creative. Write, draw, conceptualize processes. Some people are actually looking at buying stocks and bonds while they're low, or they're getting lower because the stock market has crashed, so that when it does go back up, they'll increase their cash flow. There's a lot of things that people are doing. And I just want to make sure the people who are listening to my podcast are keeping their spirits up, keeping their heads up, but also realizing, too, that this is going to pass over. And to love the people that you love, keep them close to you, keep in contact with them, and let them know that you care. Times like this, some folks feel like they're all by themselves, and no one should feel like that. Entertainment industry is effectively shut down. All movies that were supposed to come out this year have been pushed back to next year. Production on a lot of television shows that we all watch has been halted due to the fact that they want to try to keep people safe because, you know, of course, California is shut down. Some shows are filmed in Canada, but again, production companies have shut down just to make sure that they try to keep people as safe as possible. So books, get back in those books, y'all. Get the reading, get the writing, get the old movies out, dust some things off, and try to make sure that you stay in your house to keep people safe. Well, hopefully the next time I talk to you, things have gotten better. I pray that they will have gotten better. But more importantly, I hope that between now and next Tuesday, that you get better if you're not feeling up to it. That you have a better outlook on what's going on in the world and how you can actually help affect your circle to make that circle a little bit more whole, a little bit more healthy, both mentally and spiritually and physically. Get up and walk around. Get out the bed. I know some folks are laying in the bed all day long, getting up out the bed and, you know, go outside, sit on the porch, you know, mess with the mailman or mail lady when they come up, you know, do something, interact with some folks. Don't just be stuck in the house all day long, being scared, because A spirit of fear is not going to keep you safe. A spirit of fear, you know, can hinder you mentally. Just keep that faith going. But again, use wisdom when you're using it. All right, y'all, that's it for me today. I hope this podcast finds you well. Again, if you ever want to check in with me, you can always shoot me messages. DetroitNiner@gmail.com is my email. You can always shoot messages on Instagram, on Twitter, things of that nature. Get into some healthy debates with some folks on social media. You know, like I got into a healthy debate about Michael Jackson and Prince. All in fun, because, you know, you start figuring out things. There's not that much to talk about, so you start digging up old stuff. Things like that, you know. Top five singers of all time. Top five movies of all time. All those types of things are healthy debates that keep you focused on other things. You know, we all know coronavirus is in the background floating. But try to get your mind off of that and onto some things that are fun to get your butt plumping a little bit, but also has done in fun. All right. Until next time, folks, you ain't going to see me on the street. But if you see me out here on the internets or the interwebs, holla at your boy.